Got that started for the recording this morning. And kids look like they're already leaving to go be back with Miss Judy. So those are the two things I had to remember before getting started. This morning, we're starting the last of our sermon series on Romans. We've talked through several key teachings and important principles significant to the life of us as believers. We've talked about the problem of sin. We've talked about our amazing rescue through Christ's salvation. We've talked about the pursuit of righteousness, which is our sanctification, lifelong process of pursuing righteousness once you become a Christian. We've talked about how God formed us, knows us, and chose us as He selected us. Last week, we talked about how He gets us on a road to service, sharing, and we talked about particularly the Romans road, a way to share what He has done for us last week. And this week, as we conclude, we are going to be sharing about becoming a living sacrifice. And if you look on your bulletin, I also added "and remaining," because that's also an important part. I've repeated and reviewed each week as we started, because repetition helps to cement ideas in your head. Of course, whenever it's week to week, sometimes they may not be as cemented. So that's why I'm repeating again this morning. And to me, all the different S's there, that alliteration helps me memorize things whenever I have, oh yeah, they all start with S. Okay, so all six of them start with S, so hopefully that should help you remember that. The quiz will be next Sunday, so just so you're ready for that. Multiple choice and short answer only. All right, today we end our series. We're going to explore one of the greatest principles Paul discusses in the final chapters or the books of the Book of Romans, the idea of becoming living sacrifices. I don't know where the original quote originated, but one that I've always heard my entire life growing up in the church, what, of course, is the problem with living sacrifices is that they keep crawling off the altar. And the quote that I found attributed it to D.L. Moody, but I did some research and couldn't quite figure that out. But regardless of who said that originally, it's a very true statement, is those living sacrifices, they just keep getting up and crawling off the altar. So this morning I wanted to discuss how to be a sacrifice and how to stay on the altar. I think this is important because as we discuss sin, redemption, righteousness, we're often left asking ourselves and of God, okay, now what? What do I do next? So today, some of the things that we're talking about in Romans chapter 12, not a full and exhaustive answer. Probably wouldn't have time for that, but a partial answer to the question. So please turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and we'll get started. Verse 1, therefore, I urge you, and when I was growing up learning this in the King James, they use beseech, which I kind of like in this context more. Beseech just kind of gives it more urgency if I was beseeching someone. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, and we've discussed that in previous weeks, what all God's mercy means to us, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we're urged by Paul in this chapter, because of God's amazing mercy to us, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. But he gives two qualifiers there of what a sacrifice should look like. His two qualifiers are they should be holy and pleasing. So here's the good news. The first part we already have covered, right? Let's look in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 8 through 14. First, he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. That allows us to be a sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So that qualifier of being a living sacrifice, Jesus already took care of that for us. It's nice when you have a checklist and you have two things, and we got the first one checked off. Paul gives us the holy and pleasing checklist, and the first part has already been taken care of by Christ's work on the cross. What about the second part of the statement, though? We're supposed to not only be holy, but we're also supposed to be pleasing. So Paul, I believe, in chapter 12 of Romans, elaborates on this. In fact, he says this is our true and proper worship. As again, a response to what Christ has done, this is our true and proper worship. He goes on to say that part of this being pleasing to God is to not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world in its present state doesn't take too far to look around and see it's not pleasing to God at all. So if we are conforming to this world, the way it thinks, the way it acts, the way everything is done in this world, we're not thinking or acting in a way that is pleasing to God. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and renew and transform us from the inside out, then we can accomplish things that are truly pleasing to God. When we allow our minds to be transformed and renewed, we can allow the mind of Christ to permeate the filter of the world that we live in. We can begin to see the world as Christ sees the world. And we can begin, as the rest of the verse says, to test and approve what God's will is for us, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So starting in verse 3, Paul kind of lays out the beginning of what a sacrifice, being a living sacrifice, looks like. It's not an easy task, as he said, to transform your mind. And that's why the first part of becoming a living sacrifice is in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. First part of becoming a living sacrifice, I think Paul is saying, is to let your mind be transformed so that you can view yourself correctly and your relationship with God correctly. I think what he is addressing in verse 3 is our tendency as humans to elevate ourselves in our own mind. It's hard for you to be a sacrifice when you still think that maybe someone else should be doing the sacrificing, or maybe that you want to sacrifice someone else. To become a sacrifice, you have to have a sober view of yourself. It's not an easy task because pride is one of those habits that keep popping up in your mind. And it tends to hide and pops up in this situation or comes out in this situation whenever you're looking at things. So the first part of being a living sacrifice is to have a proper view of yourself. Second part, in verse 4, let's read verse 4 through 8 of chapter 12, Romans. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Another key to becoming a living sacrifice is to daily do those things, those roles that God has placed you in. We each have different gifts according to what God has given us. Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving generously, leading, showing mercy. I believe that we can recognize that God has called us to, in relation to living out our faith, we can offer ourselves up in one of those roles, or several of those roles, depending on what God has called you, and perform that role, make a decision to do that on a daily basis. It's interesting, in those gifts that are mentioned in those verses, they all involve giving something up, right? Giving of yourself. Serving others, instead of being served, that's a sacrifice, right? Encouraging others, that's giving up something, right? Giving generously, it doesn't say specifically what to give generously. I think God kind of calls us to give generously in different ways. I was thinking as I was writing this sermon that a year ago, we lost Paul Stahl. And I think for many of us, he was a good example of giving generously. I just was reminded recently, someone was referring to him and talking about the way that he would go and get cleaning supplies. Wouldn't say anything about it. He would just do it for years and years. He gave generously and did that continually. That was a good example, I think. Again, giving generously, another way we can be a sacrifice. But sometimes it's not necessarily financially. Sometimes it's giving of your time. There are different ways to sacrifice and give generously. Showing mercy. Showing mercy is definitely a sacrifice. You're giving up something that you feel like you have the right to hold over or against someone. Giving mercy is a very big sacrifice when you offer that to someone. And obviously, Christ created a beautiful example for us of what that sacrifice looks like. In the Old Testament, it talked about the sacrifices that were offered, and there was a number of different sacrifices for different reasons. But it talked about those sacrifices being referred to as a pleasing aroma to God. And I think that's a good word picture to imagine when we think of these roles that we perform, these sacrifices that we offer to God and ourselves as a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma. I would want to be, have it said by God to me, you know, when I get to heaven, I would like to say that this was a pleasing aroma. Your life was a pleasing aroma. That would be a great compliment, right? When we do these first two things, when we see ourselves as God sees us, and when we know our role in relationship of what He wants us to sacrifice in our lives, I believe that our lives become that pleasing aroma to God. When He sees His children surrendering to Him to be sacrifices, that is pleasing to Him. Paul continues through in the next verses with other pleasing aromas to God. Verse 9 of chapter 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Doesn't it bring a smile to God's face when He sees His children surrendering to love? Love must be sincere. And what is sincere but sacrificial love? Again, His example. We've heard at plenty of weddings, we've heard the passage from 1 Corinthians, what love and sincere love looks like. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud. It does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It protects, it trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That is a sacrifice. Love is a sacrifice. Jesus set the ultimate example of sacrificial love. For it was because of His love for us that he was willing to sacrifice his life for us. Following his example of love pleased his Father. And God said, I am well pleased. And in the same way, we become sacrifices when we choose to love others sincerely. Second part of verse 9 says, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. And that is another, as we talked about, transforming and renewing your mind. That is another battle of the mind, I think. And you have to sacrifice that in your own mind. Goes back to earlier about being able to test and approve what God's will is. Being able to hate evil and sin and clinging to what is good. It's another way to be a sacrifice. Verse 10 of chapter 12. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Not seeking to promote yourselves. Not seeking attention or the need to be constantly recognized. Maybe letting other people take the credit for things. Willing others to see people promoted ahead of yourself. Those are also sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Verses 11 and 12. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Never be lacking in zeal. It's hard to always be energized, right? It's hard to keep your spiritual fervor for things. Especially just life takes its toll. Having the energy and keeping your excitement and your zeal is hard. Part of being a sacrifice is praying the prayer mentioned, I believe, in Psalm 119:93. This is comfort in my affliction, for your word has revived me. Going back to God's word to be revived. Your word has revived me. That's how you keep your spiritual fervor, being in God's word. There's plenty in there to keep you, keep your zeal going. How can we be revived, keep our zeal and spiritual fervor if we don't keep going back to God's word on a daily basis? Sacrificing the time to be spent in the word, the time to be asking God what his will is. And that helps us keep the second part of the verse also. His word helps us be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Joy, hope, and patience in difficult times. And faithful prayers. Those are all pleasing aromas to our Heavenly Father. Verse 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Are you looking for ways to give of yourselves to other people? In small ways and sometimes big ways. Sometimes God lays it upon your heart to go in extraordinary ways and share with other people. Look for those opportunities. Look for those ways to sacrifice of yourself to practice hospitality. And again, I'm reminded of our opportunity with the power packs and sharing with those people who are in need. That's a neat way to be able to do that. And like we was said in the announcement, we have a good reason to praise this week that we can continue with that. So sharing with those in need, practicing hospitality, other ways that we can remain a sacrifice. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. So that first, in verse 14 there, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Those who persecute you, those who you feel that you are justified in having a problem with, you're justified with having a wrong attitude about them with, it's a sacrifice to give that up, right? Because we want to hold on to that. We want to hold on to whatever that problem is we have with that person. But part of being a living sacrifice is sacrificing that right to hold an offense against someone. And verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. It might be difficult for you to rejoice when you see other people having good fortune. Maybe someone who gets something maybe they didn't deserve. Maybe good news happened to someone and things aren't going real well in your own life. Sometimes it's hard to rejoice with other people. I think either one or the other is probably more difficult. For me, I like to rejoice with people when I see good things happening in their life. For some, that might be a little more difficult because they might feel envious. Again, give that up as a sacrifice. Second part of the verse is a little more difficult for me, and we talked about it actually in during the Sunday school. We talked about mourning and about grief and about losing those things. Mourn with those who mourn. That's a difficult thing sometimes, to sit with those who are hurting and give of ourselves during those times. Another way that we can sacrifice, but another way that we can be a pleasing aroma to God. And verse 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Not be conceited. Talked earlier about giving up that pride, sacrificing that pride. And all of these things, again, so easy to crawl off the altar when it comes to pride. I'm going to get off the altar for this reason. But we have to daily choose to be a sacrifice. Verses 17 through 20. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Each of those are sacrifices. Giving up the right to having a revenge on someone. Not repaying evil for evil. People are watching to see how you respond to situations. People are watching to see what you're going to do. Revenge is easy. Seeking to take your pound of flesh, eye for an eye, all of that, to someone who's hurt you, someone who's made your life more difficult, someone who's even been annoying to you. That's the easy thing. That's the sin nature taking over. That's conforming to the pattern of this world, right? Because that's what's kind of preached or taught in the world. In the church, we're taught differently. Jesus expects us to do differently when we're placed in those situations. It's easy to go with the flow of seeking revenge in any way, even in your mind with someone. But we're called to be better than that. As sacrifices, living sacrifices, we have to give that up. Give up what we think is right to go after that person. As far as it depends on you, the verse says, live in peace with everyone. Peace is a sacrifice, right? Living in peace is a sacrifice. It's giving up those feelings of righteous indignation that you have. When we're seeking to go after another person, we're not offering ourselves as a sacrifice of peace. We're seeking to serve ourselves. We're trying to literally climb off the altar and sacrifice someone else instead, which is not what we're called to. But instead, the sacrifice is feeding your enemy, giving him something to drink. That's a sacrifice. And isn't that a pleasing aroma to God? At my job, I am frequently cursed at, disrespected in. If you can think of some kind of foul way to form a sentence with whatever imaginable profanity and any kind of insult, I've probably had it said to me in the past month. But to the people who have said that to me, I've also offered a cup of water, or I've offered mercy or a kind word. I have that opportunity at my work to practice that daily, but it still is a challenge each day. Even with practice being a living sacrifice, giving up those things, it's still a difficult thing. It takes a daily decision to sacrifice those feelings when someone says something unkind to you or does something unkind to you or treats you in a way that you don't feel like you should be treated. And the last verse of chapter 12 sums it up quite nicely. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's our call as living sacrifices in this world, to not be overcome by evil. This verse, I think, directly points back to verse 2 of chapter 12. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." When we do things like the world does, we will be overcome by evil. How could it be any different? That way of living doesn't lead to right living. When we conform to the pattern of the world, we're thinking with the mindset of the world. But when we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we can overcome evil with good, which is a pleasing aroma to God. And that's our goal. Our lives can be a sweet aroma to our Heavenly Father. We can choose to live in such a way that God receives glory. And that's a sacrificial thing. But instead of being a dead sacrifice, we're living. So each day we have to humble ourselves and live this life for God. And gratefully remind ourselves that we were and where we were and where He has led us to in life. So this week I want you to think of being a living sacrifice. What does it mean for you? Because for me, it means something completely different. Some of the things addressed in this chapter of Romans, kind of in your own life, apply differently. Some things you might struggle with doing that I might not struggle with. Some things that I struggle with might come naturally to you. But God is seeking to use you for His purposes, and that requires you to remain on the altar to be a sacrifice to Him. In the passage that we read today, I believe Paul lays out a simple guide of the bare bones of what that is. Like I said before, it's not exhaustive because there's a lot of different applications of being a living sacrifice. But I also think it's important to remember the words that Jesus Himself said. He said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." So that Luke 9:23. Taking up your cross, the cross by its very nature is sacrificial. We think of the cross today and we think of it as a symbol and you wear it around your neck and you see it everywhere. In Jesus' time, there was only one reason for the symbol of the cross, and that was someone dying. So Jesus clearly said, "Die to yourself." Ultimately, when we do, we begin to understand more of our role to play in God's purposes. And again, that's to be the holy and pleasing sacrifices. In Genesis, it talks about, Genesis 4:7, it says, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Sin wants you, but you must deny it daily. And as we consider being a sacrifice daily, we also should consider this verse in Psalm 1:2. "Blessed is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night." When we're in the Word, when we're in God's Word, when we're completely reminded continually about what His expectation is for us as believers and who are recipients of His grace and mercy, when we're continually reminded of us, that helps us stay on the altar, be that living sacrifice. With God, every moment in your life matters. He can use every moment of your life from this exact point. But if you want to know Christ and you want to understand your calling from Him, then choose every day. And as Paul said at the beginning of this chapter, then you will know God's will for you, His perfect and pleasing will. Last verse I want to share with you this morning comes from Joel 2:12. It says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart." And even that refers, I think, back through the entire Old Testament, back to Genesis, that the Lord's heart for His creation the humankind would willingly choose to return to him. We have that choice, willing choice, to return to him, to stay on the altar, to forsake all the idols, to turn from sin, to eliminate all the distractions in our lives, and return to our relationship with him. He came to earth and was tempted by all the things that we are tempted by on a daily basis. He knew the end result of his life was to be a sacrifice physically. And ultimately, he chose every day to do what was God's will for him, to do the right thing every day. And he was ultimately killed for that, so he could be a sacrifice for us. That sacrifice is the example that we should continue each day as we decide to be a sacrifice, continue to think of. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the example you set for us. We thank you for being a sacrifice for us. We pray that as we come to understand your word better, as we practice in the things that we know that we should do, some of the things mentioned in Romans 12, as we seek to have our minds renewed and to reject the pattern of this world and not conform it, as we think of your example of love, your example of showing us just how to show mercy to others, your example of loving others who are unkind to you. We thank you for those examples you have given to us of what it means to be a sacrifice. We pray as we go through our week, as we go through our lives, that we quit crawling off the altar, that we are continually giving our lives, all of us, to you. And we just pray for us to be reminded of that in being in your word and praying and your word to us. In your name, amen. Before we sing, wanted to share that next week I would like to do a little bit something different with the service. We're at the end of our Roman series, and I like to, whenever the church family can participate in some way. So I'm giving you the opportunity next week to be part of the service, Scripture Sunday. And what I'm interested in is finding out what your favorite scripture is. And I say favorite, it could mean a scripture maybe that is, maybe this week meant a lot to you, or maybe this month or this year, or during a certain difficult time in your life, a scripture that is interesting you. I'd like to read that scripture. If you would like to read that scripture, you're welcome to. That's fine. But I would like to find out what that is. So if you would send, just drop me a note, text me, Facebook, whatever it is, email. I would like to know that. And if you want to share what that means to you, I would love to hear that too. Again, if you would love to share it, that'd be great. I would love to hear from each and every person in the room, to be able to share with the church family. This is this person's favorite scripture, and this is what it means to them. So if you're willing to be part of that, that would be great. We'll also be doing some responsive readings through scripture and some songs that are based just, in scripture. As we prepare for Thanksgiving, I think that's a good time to focus on some of the things that we're thankful for in scripture. And if you, I know there's, 31,102 different verses in the Bible. So I know it's hard to choose one, but so if you have a couple you want to share, that's fine too. But I'd love to see as many people participate as possible, because I love it as a church family when we can share with each other and when we can learn from each other. Because I would wager to guess that if you asked a person next to you what their favorite scripture was, you'd probably be surprised, right? Because you wouldn't know. But hopefully after next week, you'll be able to know. So I wanted to extend that invitation to you for next week. And now let's sing.